You're listening to the MOA broadcast with Sam Wilson. Will you make it out alive? All right, we are back and we are ready to get to it. Now, before the break, we were talking about different types of fire starters. One of everybody's favorite topics for discussion about the backwoods, starting a fire. Not the illegal kind, the legal kind. There was, I'll bring it up in a future episode, but there was recently a hiker, I think it was in Arizona or somewhere in the Southwest, that they got lost for several days and they were able to start a fire to signal for their rescue, but they wound up burning down a chunk of the forest as well, and they actually caught charges over that. It was a pretty big mess, but we'll do that on the time. This is for controlled, legal, safe fires while you're camping, backpacking, or for survival. So what are some different types of tools? Well, if you're able to use the video version, or the video version of this broadcast, again, that'll be available through Patreon page, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. If you look us up there, Sam Wilson or Gear Convoy, you can get the video there. You can find the link for it on our website at www.gearconvoy.com, and you can get all kinds of information about what we're doing there and see the demonstrations here. Up first, probably the most common form of starting a fire. Let's see, did I bring out the... Here we go. Just a regular old Bic lighter. Nothing fancy here. The thing is, Bic lighters are... and there are other brands. I don't get paid or endorsed by Bic, let me tell you that. But I have had the best success, along with a lot of other people over the years. Many have had the best success with the regular old Bic. These are nice because you can get them at gas stations really cheap. You can get the full size. You can get the smaller size. If you're going to use one of these little, you know, butane lighters as your primary method of starting a fire in the backwoods, do yourself a favor and get a couple of them. It's best to just put one or two or three in various parts of your gear, one in your backpack, one or two on your person. And I usually keep a spare one in a Ziploc bag somewhere in my fire kit, which is a separate kit all its own, in my backpacking and hiking gear. Fire is very important. As we talked about, exposure gets a lot of people. All it takes is deviating your core temperature a little bit, and it's lights out. So anyway, the other good thing about a Bic is even after they run out of fuel, they still will spark. And if you have properly prepared tinder, you can still get a fire going that way. We also sell and provide really good tinder at gearconvoy.com. You can get them elsewhere as well. The tinder quick tabs. Here we go. It looks like this. It's a small, I don't know exactly if it's cotton or some similar type of fiber, and it's impregnated with some sort of chemical, probably a petroleum distillate or some sort of petroleum product that makes it more flammable. But the bottom line is, if we take a lighter here, and boom, just like that, you got yourself a fire going. Well, that'll burn pretty good for about, I don't know, 1.5 to 3 minutes, depending on your environment. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. What I usually do is I cut them in half, because a half of one is more than you really need in most cases if you've prepared your tinder. Okay, and just while we're on that subject, what does properly prepared tinder look like? If you've never made a feather stick, this is one of the easiest and most common ways to produce good tinder in the backwoods. Okay, this is a piece of wood here. Again, if you're watching the video version, you can see. If you're not and you're experienced in the backwoods, you probably know what a feather stick looks like. But you can see the wood has been shaved with a knife. All you really do, this is one of our knives, a Packlite, small hollow handle survival knife made in the U.S. Very proud of these. And you just shave the wood like that, and you make these curls. Okay, so for the curls to be going that way, I would have been cutting like this. I eventually cut the top off of that piece of wood. But what happens is, I'm not going to light it on fire because I'm going to use this for demonstration purposes in other videos, but a Bic or a match or even a ferro rod will easily catch tinder that's like this on fire. The other reason this is particularly valuable is you will strip off the bark or even take a piece of wood and split it down the middle or into quarters so that you can access the drier wood on the inside. Again, if you're in a place like the Columbia River Gorge, like we've been talking about all week or in several episodes, you're not going to find any dry wood on the outside. Even if you peel off the bark, in a lot of cases, it's going to be wet. So you got to get something off the ground and then usually split it one or two times and then shave down to get the dry wood. So that again goes, it dovetails with that story earlier about the man that died in the wilderness, in the white, what was it? whatever it was, the mountains, White Mountains of New Hampshire. You got to be prepared to start a fire and have, you may not find good tenders. You may have to provide your own. That's what knowing your AO, your area of operations, is all about. So that is the theme of this show of Make It Out Alive. Be prepared. You know, being forewarned is forearmed. So don't wait until you're in the bad situation to realize, great, all I've got is two matches. If you're in the Columbia River Gorge or where that guy is in the White Mountains, chances are two matches are not going to do it unless you really, really know what you're doing. So, all right, that's, let's put this up before I hurt myself. Get a sip of this coffee. All right, what's next? Matches. Another product that that I designed and built, although this was a pre-existing type of product, a match safe. These are also made in the U.S. We have them on gearconvoy.com. This is our match safe. Okay, so for those of you that are younger and haven't really been around matches or match safes that much, this is a waterproof aluminum tube. And we take and screw open the cap on this bad boy. This happens to have a hard anodized OD green finish. We have them in OD green and black. We got a small compass there in the top for rudimentary navigation. I wouldn't want to rely primarily on a button compass for navigation, but in a pinch, it's better than nothing. We take that out, and you've got Strike Anywhere matches. Now, you can put whatever you want there. For the purposes of this demonstration, I put in matches. You're going to want a handful of those. There's also enough room to easily put in a handful of matches, a couple of those, if I can hold on to it here, the quick tender tabs. That way you've got a fire kit all in one spot. And yes, the knurling on here is sharp enough to strike a match. You can strike if you have a Strike Anywhere match. If it's not a Strike Anywhere match, you're going to need to include a striker strip. Otherwise, you're going to be in serious trouble. So make sure, again, you want to take all your gear, and we're going to get to that momentarily, and rehearse what you're going to do with it while you're out there, because that's the only way you're really going to find any holes in your game. If you do all this based on a checklist or a book or an article you got from somebody else, you're going to miss some things. Nothing really replaces the experience of doing it live, as O'Reilly would say. So you need to get out there and actually practice it. And that's the problem that we're having this culture problem here, especially in America right now. People don't want to put in what they call the dirt time. They just want to go to Amazon, you know, their phone, go to Amazon, get me one of those, whatever. What's going to make me the best fire starter? Give me one of them. What's going to make me the best woodsman? Get me one of them. What's going to make me Rambo? Give me one of those. Put it in their cart and check out. And then it comes and they just stick it in a backpack or a box somewhere, and they don't even use it. I had occasion to be at a meeting a while back, several years ago, about preparedness. And it was in a city. Nothing. I'm a country boy. Nothing against city people. We just have very different backgrounds and perspectives on things. That being said, it was about going over go bags and your emergency supplies. I cannot tell you, as everyone started pulling out their gear, we're going through it and looking at it, you know, okay, this is a good idea, that is not. So much of this gear had never even been opened. Some of it was still in the packaging. And I'm thinking to myself, if you've never even taken it out of the package, how are you going to be proficient with it whenever the chips are down? If you're like that guy on the mountains, what if you're getting pelted with rain and snow? It said there were 50-mile-an-hour winds. If you've never used your gear, that is not the time to learn. So the far more important thing than just going and getting what has the most 5-star ratings on, you know, online or Amazon or wherever you do your shopping, make sure you're experienced with it. Okay, that brings us to one of our other products that is a fantastic product. There we go. This is what's called a ferrule rod. So for those of you who are, some people will call it a flint and steel. That's not entirely accurate. It's a ferrule rod, short for ferrocerium, which is this rod right here. This is a product that we offer, that I designed and sell. Others have done similar things, so I'm not trying to take too much credit there. But I have great faith in this one. We've got a 5/16 diameter ferrule rod here. Those are good for thousands of strikes. You may not be able to start thousands of fires, but thousands of strikes. Same kind of thing as the match safe. If we screw the top off here, we've got a compass and a watertight container where you can put some tinder, like the tinder quicks or whatever is important to you. Whenever we take like the match safe and the other products and we make mini survival kits, you want to tailor them to where you're going to be. If you're in the city, having strike anywhere matches to start a fire may not really be crucial for you in your day-to-day, you know, activities. It may be more important to have a $20 bill in case of emergency to get home or to make a call or get something, you know, whatever it may be, and your daily medication, because it's a waterproof container. If you drop it, they're not going to be damaged. You're not going to lose it. You know, however you want to do it. But you need to be prepared with those things. So if you're not familiar with a ferro rod, let me show you how this works. This is a used one here. This is my personal one. Let me get my coffee out of the way. I'm trying not to set anything on fire here. We have a striker that you can get, or you can use the blade or the spine of your knife. And you don't have to buy these from me. You can get these similar products anywhere. I'm not just trying to shove my stuff down your throat. The point is, whatever you have, practice with it. But here, for those of you that have never seen a ferro rod, you take it, and it just, it throws a shower of sparks. If you properly prepared your tinder, like if you have a tinder quick tab like this here, or if you've prepared a feather stick like this, within a couple of strikes, sometimes one or two, if you're practiced enough, you can easily get a fire going. So why would you want a product like this as opposed to matches or a lighter? Well, the downfall, I don't think I got into it earlier, but the downfall with the lighters, not just Bic, but any of the small disposable butane lighters, is sometimes when they get really cold, for whatever reason, they don't work. Probably due to the pressurization of the butane tank inside. But they just don't seem to work as well sometimes. I've had several of them fail me in not even sub-zero, but sub-freezing temperatures, 15, 16 degrees. You start flicking it, and it just doesn't work anymore. The other thing is, they are susceptible to water, moisture. That's why I keep one in a Ziploc bag, so that if I go into the water, creek, river, whatever, or my gear does, that lighter is going to stay dry. But I've had a number of these over the years get, you know, mildly wet, and they just don't work anymore. So that is a problem. Now, you can still strike with them, but you're going to have very good tinder. The strikes, the sparks out of a lighter that's out of fluid will not be as good as, say, a ferro rod. So that's what we have, the ferro rod. I carry this in addition to the lighters and usually a match, some matches and other things to get me going, because, again, fire can be very critical once your body temperature starts dropping. It goes too far and it's lights out. These, you can take them straight. In fact, I've got videos on my YouTube channel. I take this straight out of a 5-gallon bucket of water and strike some tinder and start a fire. Okay. And you know exactly how much life you have left in one of these rods because you can see it. I usually have two or three Bics with me whenever I go, because you never know which one of them is running low on fuel. So, you know, again, it's about knowing your gear and being prepared, not just saying, okay, I got the best rated one off of Amazon. So you can get ferro rods very cheap all over the place. Remember, though, there are different types of alloys they use to make these for the rods itself. The cheaper ones don't work nearly as well as the better ones on average. So whatever you get, make sure you try it out. That's the main thing. It's about being prepared. Again, we've talked about that. It's just the same thing with knives. If you go on any, my goodness, if you go on any bushcraft or knife forum or social media site, guys will sit there and talk endlessly about what's the best knife for this? What knife would you take if you were going to do that? And what would be your dream knife scenario and this and that? Because it's fun, I guess, to go and buy a knife and to collect them and to look at them and admire them. I get all that. But the bottom line is, people were surviving for thousands of years before we had stainless steel or even carbon steel knives just fine, because they made do with what they had. I would rather have or be someone who was very thoroughly experienced with the knife or fire or other skills and have a cheap piece of junk knife than be the person who had the, you know, the best knife in the world, whatever that would be, and have no skill or experience with it. So that's the underlying theme of all of this. Don't just go out and say, oh, I got Wilson's, you know, Sam Wilson's gear, it's the best, I'm set. Or so-and-so's gear, it's the best, I'm set. That's not what we're trying to get to. It's really get the gear that is best for you, that fits your style of doing things, but then practice with it, okay? Some people don't like, you know, hollow-handled knives. I happen to like them quite a bit. These are made very well. They have exceeded every test that I've ever thrown at them, and I've beat them to death. But for some people, that's not it. Fine. Then don't buy a hollow-handled knife. Buy the one that suits you. But the main thing is, again, use it. Have an idea of its limitations, what the edge retention is like, what does it take to get it, you know, how rust-resistant is it, corrosion-resistant, and, you know, at what point does it start feeling uncomfortable, how should I hold it, and so forth, because those skills, that experience, will be far more valuable than just having the quote-unquote best knife on the internet. So, that's what I have to say about that. We have one more story we have to get into here. Again, unfortunately, this is a sad one, so we're not going to use names. Let me get a cup of coffee here, a sip of coffee. Okay. This takes us to Franconia Notch State Park, November 23rd of a year or two ago. The fate of a Massachusetts woman who died alone in the White Mountains, again, just like the man earlier was in the White Mountains. Very treacherous weather there, man. Got to be very careful. Died while trying to accomplish a hiking goal is a sad reminder of one of the biggest dangers in the backcountry, sometimes called summit fever. I would argue that exposure is far more dangerous, but summit fever is whenever, in this particular area of New Hampshire, there is a large group of 4,000 foot or so mountains, and it's a common thing for people in New England to want to summit all of them because that's like a day hike. We live at 4,200 feet here in Oregon. That's as tall as the whole mountain there. So these are not huge hills. Okay. According to officials, we'll just call her Nancy. Nancy of Westford, Massachusetts, was trying to reach the summit of all 48 of New Hampshire's 4,000 footers before she turned 20 on Wednesday. She set out alone before dawn on Sunday morning from the Lafayette Place campground with the goal of summiting several of the peaks along the Franconia Ridge, then getting picked up by her mother at the Flume Gorge parking lot by 3:30 p.m. So she started out before dawn. Let's guesstimate here, 5 o'clock. So 0500, she starts out. That's, about 11 hours if she gets there by 2:30, 3:30. That's a pretty big day. She wanted to summit, apparently, one, two, three, at least four of these hills before she got picked up by her mother. Unfortunately, Nancy never made it to the parking lot, which triggered an extensive search by numerous rescue crews. So they did that right. She had someone there waiting to pick her up and was told to call the cavalry if she doesn't make it on time. Her route she was using is a popular day hike in good weather, but winter conditions had arrived in the White Mountains, making the trail icy, snowy, and much more treacherous. Rescue officials said that she is an experienced hiker in good weather, but was not prepared for winter in the North County mountains. This is where she really messed up big time. Her attire and the gear she had. She was wearing just a jacket and athletic pants with sneakers on her feet. So a jacket, yoga pants, and tennis shoes. Though that is not the gear, the apparel to be wearing when you're going to be in the White Mountains and there's snow. She was carrying a small amount of food in a backpack and a water bladder. She did not have any means of starting a fire and apparently carried little, if any, further protection, such as extra clothing, and her only source of light was her smartphone, officials said. So, unfortunately, she made some very grave errors before she ever took off on the trail that day. This is, again, like we talked about before, with some of these remote areas being so close, I'm guessing there was a big city nearby or she was from a big, well, Westford, Mass. When you are that accessible to the outdoors are that accessible, sometimes people forget that they can be just as dangerous and deadly. I saw that a lot when I was living in the Portland area. People would be out on the trail. It was unreal with their dress, open toe shoes, whenever it, you know, cold temperatures, mud, you know, going up hills, gravel, trying to climb any kind of terrain in open-toed shoes and shorts or yoga pants were very popular wear on the trail for usually for women. You got to know Portland, but very dangerous attire. And she had tennis shoes. So she didn't have a way to start a fire. You should always be prepared at a minimum to have to spend the night if it comes up and becomes necessary anytime you go out in the woods, especially if you're going to be alone. She didn't have a flashlight, no fire starting method, no shelter, no extra clothing, and very little food and water. So this was a bad situation all around. Unfortunately, they combed the region after she was reported missing. They encountered waist-deep snow and faced heavy winds and blowing snow. If you never walked in waist-deep snow, that is brutal. Right now, we have almost knee-high, what's actually a little bit over knee-deep snow walking through that to go walk my dog or go get the groceries or mail or whatever is a mess. Waist deep snow will take the energy right out of you. And this lady was wearing yoga pants and tennis shoes. That is not the proper attire for that sort of adventure. Unfortunately, her body was located 11:30 Wednesday on the northwest side of Mount Lafayette, indicating she had made it up just the first of the peaks. So she hadn't even summited her first one when she succumbed to exposure, I guess. So unfortunate, sad story, but you got to be prepared. And that's going to bring us to a topic we'll get into next week that unfortunately she was not ready with, the 10 C's of survival. If you haven't heard of this, look it up. Good information on the things you should always have with you whenever you're out there in the woods. The 10 C's, as in Charlie, of survival. Okay, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thanks for your support. Remember, don't wait for an emergency to get your gear ready. Forewarned is forearmed. Because if you don't make it out alive, you don't make it out at all. Stay safe out there, folks.